The title of today's talk is Nothing New. Okay. Somehow, when we think we're seeking truth, we keep thinking something, some new information is going to be the aha motivating information that will keep us inspired to the goal. It's a trick of the ego. From the dawn of time, there have been masters and inspired souls who have taught and left writings that can motivate one to move in the right path to the top of the mountain, to the mountain of consciousness. So even though there may be seven paths to the top of the mountain, we have to take one all the way. We have to choose one and do it. However, the ego doesn't want you to be motivated. It is invested in its role as the deceiver. It's invested in the role of hiding the truth that's sitting in front of you, sitting inside of you. The ego doesn't want to give you or help you remember a sustainable motive. So while we are blind to what enlightenment is, we are not blind to how love feels, or relaxation feels, or joy feels, or stillness feels and changes something good in us. Wow. There is motivating writing, there is motivating teaching all around us, all through history. It's when we pay attention to when we feel more in tune with soul. We know how it feels to be loving, to have love inside. That's not a big deal. It's a huge deal. It's a huge deal. That's why the ego minimizes it. To feel joy is a huge deal. Why did Master Kripal keep saying, go jolly? It's a huge deal. That was a signature of his teachings, go jolly. It's a huge deal. But your ego thinks it's a tiny deal. Isn't it cute? It minimizes it. Oh, the go jolly master. So the ego can minimize the very tools of enlightenment. An open heart, an open mind, relaxation, being still. And then if you add to that accurate meditation, looking for the light and listening for the sound. Now that doesn't sound hard. Yes, it is. It's hard because you're being bucked all the way to being still and putting your attention on looking for the light and looking, listening for the sound. It is blabbering, it is chattering, it is distracting, it is using every kind of itch and whatever, twitch, to keep you from being still. And then you're upset. Oh, that's very still. And then you're disappointed. And that's very loving. That's very joyful. You see, we don't catch the behavior of the ego's attempt to block our way up the path to the top of the mountain. It's persistent, consistent return to the few disciplines that you recognize work, but you don't hold on to it for more than a second or two. Then it's gone. Why? Because you think it will stay by itself. The ego knows that you think it should stay by itself. Not until you change your DNA, not until you change the metabolic system of your body, not until you change your attention level, it won't. This is a war between the biological, genetic, and karmic bodies against the in-housing soul. The soul doesn't go away. It just kind of stands back and let your ego play because you want your ego to do familiar things. You allow your ego. You don't see how corrupting giving up joy is. It just turns the tide back and undoes any moment you've spent in joy if suddenly you're not. You're not relaxed. You're not focused on the disciplines. You don't have to be smart. You have to be observant. You have to observe when and when not you are joyful, when and when not you are feeling lovingness in your own being, when and when you're not still. And when you're making a shopping list while you're meditating. Or you're running by the latest news flashes, or you're thinking about the hurricane that may be coming in here or there, or the fires going off there, and the volcanoes that are erupting over there, and da 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 da. Well, if we look at the attrition of damage, all we have to do is look at climate change. It's an attrition of damage. Now, you can feel bad, or you can point your finger at the right culprit. None of this is possible without it being God's will. So, the important thing is to ask yourself, do you really want to connect to the one creative power? And you start with the creative power of your soul, which is connected directly to God. And it can drag you through all the stages of inner development, but you have to get on the path. You have to put your foot on the, you have to take a couple of steps in the right direction. And then maybe a few more steps. More joy, more relaxation, more very hard things to do. Be open-hearted, be loving, be joyful. You may not know what enlightenment is, but you do know when you are joyful. You do know when you're relaxed. You do know if you're being still, or at least sitting still. Being still is debatable. But getting still won't come with a mishmash of conflict. And your ego is a master of conflict. So keeping your attention on singular efforts, simply staying joyful, simply staying relaxed, longer and longer and longer, and keeping your nose out of God's peripheral business. That doesn't mean you don't give God credit for everything. It means you don't tell God how to run His universe. You are busy telling God how to do something, and you're all torqued out telling Him. Why is this happening? La, 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 la. Is that relaxation? Is that going jolly? Is that joy? Is that open-hearted love? Is that faith? Why? Your ego wants to play the game of why. It's like the little kid that begins to learn to talk. Why? Why is it that way? You tell him something, he's, why? This little whiny, why? Note yourself. Whining why? Yes. So, since you're not totally connected to the soul, getting connected to the soul is using the blockers to the ego's pathology of keeping you tense. How does your ego keep you tense? It is the master of conflict. Should I do this or should I do that? Should I get up now or should I wait another 10 minutes? Oh, well, let's see, I was supposed to meditate 2.5 hours. Okay, you know, should I or shouldn't I? Yeah. You're timing your time with the soul. Now, how crazy is that? But you don't think it's crazy because you don't even think of it as being crazy. The soul is within, it is not without. And you either get on frequency or you stay off. Yoga is connecting back. Religiere means relinking. Relinking what? Relinking the separated consciousness back to the soul. Now you hear that. But when conflict arises, you're off and trotting. Just have to go with it. It's so instinctual. Why? The bombs are dropping in the Middle East and they have been going off in one war or another forever. History has never given the Middle East peace. Why? You don't know. Is it your business? No. Your business is to be where you are in your living room recliner, being joyful, being peaceful, being still. Now, if the soul picks you up by the nape of the neck and takes you to do something, that's one thing. If you're should-I-ing yourself, that means you're back in the should-I army. You're back in conflict, which means you're back in tension. The minute you have a conflict, you have adrenaline and you have cortisol squirting all through your veins. That's not dopamine. That's not relaxing chemicals. That's stress chemicals. Bingo. It's that simple. It's like a switch. And in control of that is the amygdala in the brain. Primitive brain chemistry. Or developed relaxing techniques that change the chemical equation. When you go to sleep, the chemical equation changes. And that's why you relax. You want to be awake and asleep at the same time. You want to be asleep to the ego. You want the ego to go to sleep. So that's why you need to change the chemistry. And what changes the chemistry is a smile. What changes the chemistry is relaxation. What changes the chemistry is open-heartedness. What changes the chemistry is open-mindedness. What changes the chemistry is inner stillness. Looking for the light. Listening for the sound. Open heart, open mind. Literally, you're in a war zone. If you allow the ego to continually put you in dilemma consciousness, the should I army, you're just undoing whatever good you did while you were sitting still and being joyful or relaxed. 2 seconds of smiling against eons of history of genetic tension. You've got a big job to overcome the impulses of the ego tension, of the genetic pathologies. You have to change the structure of the genes. And you do that one smile at a time, one joyful time, one open-hearted time, but getting rid of all that history is not a one-time event, kiddos. It's continuous awareness that you're fighting historical genetic patterns and conditioning. Now, if you think all those people over there that are experiencing right now war are not being traumatized and scarred, what is war fatigue? What is post-traumatic stress? It actually changes the dynamics of the nervous system and brain. And all through history, everybody's been subjected to the dynamics of suffering in one way or another. And it's marked us. But what happens is when we're growing up and we're learning things, we become willful. We want to be able to have the power to do something. Power is indigenous to the biological body. So power is a big deal. And when the kid starts to hear the word no, rage sets in. They are angry that they're being told no, or they're being told when, where, and how. Now, when you see somebody, a parent, in a parking lot yelling at a kid who is wandering around to get in the car, or they're going to leave them in the parking lot. What do you think that does to their nervous system? It's life-changing. It's marking. It's putting the seeds of such rage and resentment and fear that it's encapsulated in their biology. It's a post-traumatic stress. So the way we raise children with threats and badgering and every kind of enticement possible. My good Godfrey, we're a mess no matter what. So overcoming that, when you realize and you hear and you understand what's being offered on the path of the masters, is that this is no small job. This is every minute possible to be turned to doing the discipline of relaxing, of being joyful, of being open-hearted, of managing your body's chemistry so your genetics can change. It's science. It is science, and it has to be persistent, consistent remembering. Let's say, remember? You see, if the ego can keep you entertained in any format that it gets, not to remember the real work at hand. Is this connecting me back to my soul? Is this connecting me back to my soul? Is this connecting me back to the soul? Does this help me be open-hearted? Am I open-hearted? Am I open-hearted? Am I relaxed? Am I joyful? You have to monitor your nows. Now is never going to go away. There's only now. So use your nows to discipline the pathology of your genetic history and your psychological history that goes along with it. You genetically want power. You genetically, biologically, want to have control. Surrendering control to spirit seems like, oh yeah. Oh yeah? How many have you met? Oh yeah. So here we are. This is the work. But it's also the play. If your ego can make you think this is hard, very, very hard, it's persistently conditioned, and so persistently reconditioning is required. It's not hard per se, it's remembering when you're distracted. We are easily distracted by the five senses. We're like wild monkeys following the senses to here, to there, to what? This sound, this smell, this taste, this thought. They're all constructed through stimulation in the sensory world. So, if we don't manage our focus while we're using our senses, i.e. looking at the world, looking at a garden, looking at a tree, looking at a fountain, looking at the sky, looking at the ground, looking at an animal, looking at a flower, are we oohing and aahing and preferring something or believing something that is alien to it being God? Is it God or isn't it God? If everything is God, when does it click? When does it click? Well, that's the name of the game called The Path of the Masters, or Connecting Back, any name you want to give it. But you have tools, and they are...
Something went wrong. Please try again.
Thank you.
Sorry, something went wrong. Please try again.
My technology went wrong. Well, the other day, Kabir, let's see, I think he was in 1440 to 1518, you know, just yesterday. Because everything is new, you know. This information is all new. What kind of God would he be if he did not hear the bangles ring on an ant's wrist as they move the earth in their sweet dance? And what kind of God would he be if a leaf's prayer was not as precious to creation as the prayer his own son sang from the glorious depths of his soul for us? And what kind of God would he be if the vote of millions in this world could sway him to change the divine law of love? That speaks so clearly with compassion's elegant tongue, saying, eternally saying, all are forgiven. Moreover, dears, no one has ever been guilty. What kind of God would he be if he did not count the blinks of your eyes and is in absolute awe of their movements? What a God. What a God we have. With a begging bowl in hand, a man with amnesia knocks at his own door. My guru cured me of that profound illness. God, asking God for forgiveness or alms? Well, God asking God. What's there left to do if you really are in God, of God, and God in you? What needs to change? Your forgetfulness, your distractibility, because it's always dragging you back to the genetic, biological conditioning. That's the trip, remembering. There, you've got the information. You've been given it generations. Chemistry. The trick of the ego. The trick of biology and the ego. God's gift to your entertainment. And your choice. You have to remember to remember. You have to find ways to remember. So, there's nothing to it but to do it. But remember, it's remembering that is a problem. And you can't remember joy, to be joyful, be relaxed, be still, if you're distractible. And I don't know anybody that's not distractible. So, the work is the same for everyone. Different packaging, different opportunities, different distractions, but they all come back to the five senses and the genetic programming and the conditioning and the seeking of power in the conditioning to overcome, to have control, to know why, to be in charge. That's where all of politics goes, isn't it? To have greater and greater power. So, if you look at the idea of wanting to have power against God, that's disgusting. So, to want to have power is total forgetfulness of God, having all power, isn't it? And if you want power, Why? Because you feel inferior. Because your ego is inferior to God. It has an inferiority complex built into it. Because it is the tool to distract you from the knowledge of God, the God within. That's its job. It's a hard job. It's a full-time job. And we don't even think of it in that way. But if you stop and we really think about it, that's its full-time job, is to distract you from remembering that God power is in you, that spirit is in you, that soul is in you. And there is total susceptibility to it. And that's why it's so important to structure some kind of format in your life to help you remember. Remember, 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 remember. So, with a begging bowl in hand, a man with amnesia knocks at his own door. My guru cured me of that profound illness, God, asking God for forgiveness or alms. You don't need forgiveness. You need motivation. And you need persistent, consistent effort. Inconsistent undoes what consistency does. It's that simple. So, yeah, sitting around and smiling, sitting around and relaxing, sitting around and walking slowly instead of running, hurry and worry. Hurry and worry kill the man, say the masters. Hurry and worry. Hurry and worry. Take your pick. Hurrying probably means you're worried. You're having a should I army moment, hurrying to get the job done. Should I do this? Should I do that? Okay. So at some point in time, there has to be woe. Woa. Wahoo! Woa. Yeah. Why isn't it joyful? Because your ego doesn't want you to be joyful while you're going, wahoo. Woe. Woe, woe. I return to the story I've told before about a monk that was in a monastery that took vows of silence, and his job was to tend the cattle in the fields. And there was a bull, and the bull charged him and gored him, and he never uttered a cry. That's commitment. That's commitment. So it's kind of, you have to have a meeting with yourself. Are you going to sign on the dotted line? It's every minute you can remember that this is a choice that brings you closer to your divine, to divine, and it has rewards built into the choice to do one of the disciplines has built in instantaneous rewards. It changes your chemistry. Plain and simple. It makes you feel better. Plain and simple. Okay, I don't know how many more times and ways I can say it. Maybe my iPad is getting tired of this talk that doesn't change for 45 years. Okay.